CIUT. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Do you ever make up a dance and stomp your feet or punch an old pillow? Or do you have a loud song that you can sing when you're angry? Here's some loud music which just sounds like it's saying, I'm angry. I'm very, very angry.
Greg Dick here on Equalize and Distort. Yeah, I've got some pretty cool guests here tonight. They were last here in the studio almost 3 years ago to the day. They've just completed a tour of Italy and Southern Ontario, and next Saturday they're going to finish off their stay here with a gig in Burlington with the New York Dolls. I'd like to reintroduce to the show new wave punk rockers, the Diodes. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, hey, welcome.
And just tell me about that track. I've never heard that song before. That's a new one, a newly recorded track. What was the title of that one?
That song's called The Heat of the Beat. It's a song that we were doing kind of in the very, very end of the 70s, which was never recorded then.
And we just recorded it here in the studios.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, and I know that you guys have also really recorded a couple of extra tracks that we're going to hear later on. Before I get into the music, Paul and John Cato, you guys reside in London. How did you feel about yesterday's result in the World Cup?
Well, it was a bit of a draw, wasn't it?
I think your goalkeeper kind of screwed that one up. But,
yeah, he sort of dropped the ball inside the goal.
it just trickled past him. I thought he had that one, but they're still in it anyways. Now, you guys are back in action. I guess you started your first gigs. You did some shows in Italy. Where did you play in Italy?
We played in Venice, first of all, and then at the Road to Ruins festival in Rome.
And so you did two shows over there.
Yeah.
Now, John Hamilton, your drummer, he didn't make the trip. Who played drums?
It was a friend of mine called John Andrew, who originally played with a band in London called Kingmaker.
Kingmaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually toured North America at some point.
Yeah.
What kind of a band were Kingmaker? I've never heard of them.
Kind of British indie rock, kind of indie band.
Okay. Okay. And who supported you guys over in Italy?
I can't remember their names.
Dave,
Dave Rave.
Dave Rave.
I was trying to remember the name of the Italians in Rome.
So was there Italian bands playing with you guys?
There were two or three Italian bands that went to the Road to Ruins festival. Was really just that. We were the headliner on the Friday night, and then the Slits were the headliner on the Saturday. No, I think it was the Saturday and the Sunday.
Yeah, we were on the Saturday, and the Slits were on the Sunday.
Yeah, five bands, I think, in total.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Did you catch the Slits set?
No, we had to go back.
Yeah, we were already on the road by the time the Slits were on.
Yeah, they were supposed to play a Vaseline party here a few years ago, and they didn't make it, but Ari Up did play here. And, of course, we know the Slits played The Edge back in 1980, but that's kind of cool. What were the venues like you guys were playing over there? Were they bars or halls?
There were small halls or big bars. I'm not sure which you would call them.
But 500-seater
they had
types.
Big stages.
Yeah.
I mean, the one in Rome was unreal. It was like about 8 foot off the ground or something. I kept thinking, if I trip over the monitors, I'm going to do a Patti Smith.
Yeah, the place in Rome was like a kind of big concert bar, really, with the concert stage and everything. In Venice, more of a hall.
Cool. How was the turnouts over there?
Good. Really strong.
And the crowd, were they like the older sort of 77 crowd, or was it range? Were you getting like the hipsters?
Well, there were a lot of collectors that came out, a lot of, there were a kind of core group of people that came out from that area. In fact, we had one couple flew over from the States. They planned their vacation in Italy around seeing the Diodes in Rome. And she's a DJ in Boston today, and so it was really great to see them.
Diehard fans, obviously.
Yeah, there were a lot of records that people were throwing in front of us to sign, and things that we hadn't seen, you know, for years. Obscure.
What hadn't you seen for years? Like what records? What releases?
I think there was like a white label, Tired of Waking Up Tired, in there.
Yeah,
I got that.
You've got everything.
I don't have the 8-track. I wish I did.
Oh, I thought you did. Yeah.
No,
I've got the 8-track.
Did Now, were the people, were the audiences, I guess for the most part, they were familiar with your material and the history of the band?
Yeah, especially first album.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Well, the first album was released there. Yeah.
It was released in Italy?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, back in the day, I was going to ask you that question. I mean, I know the record did come out in the UK. Where would the rest of Europe, would they have gotten UK imports or American imports?
No, because it came out in France, it came out in Holland, it came out in Italy, it came out in Sweden, I think, and Spain.
Yeah.
So it came out domestically in all those countries, so we've got a...
Well, certainly distributed in the, there were Dutch pressings. I think mostly it's Dutch pressings through Europe.
Yeah, but they were still, you know, the album jackets were printed in different languages for the different countries. I think the pressing plant was in Holland.
Yeah.
Now, I guess a big part of the Italian shows probably had something to do. I know you guys have just released a new, a recording from... Now, I thought the recording... There's a new live record out. I thought that it was from a 1980 broadcast.
Ah, no.
And it says on the cover it's 1978.
Yeah, there was a 1980 broadcast which was from the Horseshoe.
Okay, so the Alma Combo one is 78 then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Alma Combo was 78.
Now,
it March was 78, yeah.
That show was, you know what, actually it would have been 78 because the album was, the performance was recorded exactly 1 year after the Stones produced Love You Live there. And Ian, I know that you told your big brother that it was the best gig you ever did.
Mm-hmm.
How many copies of the new LP have been pressed? I know it's a vinyl-only release.
I think several thousand, but, you know, it's really hard to say. Probably 2,500 in the first run.
All right. And, I know the only place I know in Toronto where you can get it is actually definitely the coolest record store in Toronto, and that's Hits and Misses at 860 Bloor. And I hope you guys – have you guys been there yet?
No. You know
it's
what?
Like the only official punk rock store in Toronto. It's pretty cool.
John, where?
It's at Bloor in Ossington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, John and I walked up and down Queen Street West. That's what I call it.
Parkdale.
Yeah, and there were a bunch of record stores there, and there wasn't one Toronto or Ontario band in the record shops. I don't get it.
Because you start out looking for your own stuff and going, oh, they don't even have, the Sony reissue, they don't have this. And then you start looking, and they don't even have Teenage Head. They don't have any of the other people's music stuff. They don't have anything.
Well, the other people's music stuff, for some reason, seems to be hard to get anywhere. I have a feeling certain pressings from that catalog have gone
AWOL.
They've sold out or whatever. They're sitting in a basement somewhere. But, there are certain shops in Toronto that really do seem to know their stuff, but definitely hits and misses for garage, punk, rockabilly, psych, anything like that. He seems to be on top of his game. So I think some of the bigger stores might have it, but that's definitely the one to go to. Back to Paul and John. You guys both live in London, England. Now, what do you guys do there for day jobs? Is it just the Diodes? Is that how you pay your mortgages?
I don't think the Diodes have ever paid a mortgage for any member in the group. So, you know.
So what do you guys do there?
I run a website, which is an art listings website for art exhibitions, cutting edge art, basically, emerging artists. And, it's an entire channel. It has a video channel. It has a listings and other things and reviews, news, things about emerging artists and art. So that's what I do full time.
Have you had any time to check out the art scene in Toronto?
A little bit. Ian took me to some of the galleries down in Queen Street West.
Good, good, good. John.
Yeah, I work in communities over there. And I do play some. Most recently, I've been doing a band with Ray Mayhew from Sing Sing Sputnik, which is called Mayhem Deranged.
Oh, interesting.
And, that kind of comes and goes, depending on whether everyone actually ends up in the same place. The last thing we did was, British fanzine, web fanzine called Mudkiss?
I don't know any web anything.
I'm living
in a cave in Kensington Market.
Well, there's a webzine called Mudkiss, and the last thing that we did, we played their parties. So,
That's cool. Now, is that the last thing that I know that I heard something from about a year ago with like an atom bomb on the cover blowing up. Is that the same band?
No release material.
Okay, because that was pretty... I can't remember the name of that project, but I really, really liked it, whatever it was called. And Ian, I know I see Ian quite every couple of months in the city here, and I know he's a software giant and has a early retirement and is now exploring his musical side once again, thank goodness.
Yeah, got a band called Broadview Station, play locally, get great turnouts, and we'll have a great time.
And John Hamilton, the drummer from the Diodes, is in that, and some other... some of the guys too.
I have a studio down in the DuPont Lansdowne area.
Great, great.
Keep active in the arts.
Beautiful. So that answers my are you doing anything musically outside of the Diodes question. Paul, are you?
No. Just the Diodes, but
not just the Diodes.
Well,
the Diodes.
I'm a Diode, and we're doing more and more with the Diodes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now thinking of coming back and doing some more dates.
That's
probably
great.
In the fall. And we're thinking of now new material and putting out possibly a new recording after all these years.
That's good, good, good. I'm sure there would be, obviously there's interest in places that you played in the past, like the West Coast, the East Coast, all the major U.S. cities where I know you played, and we'll get on to that as we go along here. Do you guys check out the London music scene now? Do you guys get out and see some of the young bands? What's going on in the city?
It's not a lot going on, and I live right in Camden, so I'm 5 minutes from the Barfly and all of the other places, Dublin Castle, places that people play.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot. I do go out, and I do see bands, and, to be quite honest, they've all got the same moves. They make the same type of music, and it's pretty dire. I think there's a better music scene here in Toronto than there is in London.
Toronto's definitely got... definitely has a very strong music scene right now. I mean, Peaches, Crystal Castles, Fucked Up, Broken Social Scene, Career Suicide. The list goes on. There's just so too many to mention. But, yeah, we're definitely going through a time where the city's definitely getting recognized on a world level.
Well, I think I'd like to be part of that again then.
Yeah. A musical renaissance, really.
And I think a lot of these bands, everything's connected together. I mean, you guys come from a few generations ahead of the bands I just mentioned. But I think it's great that you guys are out doing this stuff again, and that you're aware of what's going on now in the city, because, as I said, it's quite vibrant. Obviously, and so you guys are obviously in now. Do you find out about bands, the current bands in London?
Well, I know Fucked Up has played England, or at least people that I know have heard of them over there.
Yeah, they play London a lot. Actually, they've been in ID magazine, and I should wish Jonah Falco a happy 27th or 28th birthday. He had a great party last night, and he's the drummer for Fucked Up, the guitar player for the Suicide Dates, Mad Men, Career Suicide, all that kind of stuff. But he's a cool guy, and happy birthday, Jonah. Your old label mates, The Only Ones, a band I've always loved, and I know you guys met them back in 78. I've seen photos of some of you guys together.
Yeah.
They've reformed, and they've been playing in London lately. Have you guys checked them out?
No, I haven't seen that. I saw the last I saw for anyone in The Only Ones was a benefit for Greg Shirley, the guy from the Humble Pie, and connected to various things. And Mike Kelly was at that.
Which guy from Humble Pie?
Greg Shirley, who's the bass player, what has died? Not Steve Marriott.
Yeah, we know.
But he was in Spooky Tooth as well.
That's a drummer from The Only Ones in Spooky Tooth.
No, that was Mike Kelly. He's still alive.
Yeah.
But there's a link in there somewhere. It was a little vague to me, but there's a link between Humble Pie and
The Only
One. No, there's a link between Humble Pie and Spooky Tooth.
And Spooky okay. Tooth. Yeah.
And I went along to the benefit for, I'm pretty sure it's the bass player. But I went along to that, and Mike Kelly was playing drums for that. Luther Grosler came out to it too. Speaking of other links.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, we've talked about it before, but when you guys were let go by CBS, Epic, later on, released in America a compilation called Permanent Waves, and that featured you guys, The Only Ones, and it had a pretty funny album cover, actually.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and I know that when that came out, I believe Red Rubber Ball was the song that you guys had on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it started getting FM airplay in the States. Yeah. And, so I think it'd be kind of cool if The Only Ones and The Diodes did some gigs together. That would be, especially.
Well, the last time I saw them, we were all hanging out at the, in Los Angeles at the Tropicana Hotel.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been too long after that that Peter Parrott ran over somebody at an airport,
right.
Intentionally was charged with murder, and beelined it back to the UK. So I don't even know if you guys, you'd probably have to do like a European tour.
He was pretty out of it even in those days. I think he had a needle problem.
He was good friends with Johnny Thunders and that whole
Say no
crowd.
More.
Exactly. All you well-schooled music fans out there know where we're going with that. We're going to play another track now from the recent recording session, and it is called Nowhere Fast. This is Nowhere Fast, The Diodes, and we'll talk about it when we come back here on 89.5 FM.
Cigarettes, 13 hours of sleep couldn't happen.
Yeah, you're listening to 89.5 FM, Greg Dick and the Diodes, and that song was called
Disturbing Memories of Chaos.
Disturbing Memories of Chaos. So we didn't play the song that we said we were going to say, and we're not even going to tell you what it was again because we're going to play it later. So what's that song about, guys? Was it about Johnny Thunders and Peter Parrott from The Only Ones?
It's about waking up in strange places. Really?
What kind of strange places?
Strange girls' places. That was what inspired it.
Interesting. And of course, that's another world debut from the Diodes here on 89.5. You guys have just done some shows here in Canada. What cities did you play?
We did Waterloo, we did
London,
Ontario, then we did Toronto here at the Horseshoe, and then the fantastic Hamilton.
Yeah, fantastic. Old Lou, he's my hero.
Yeah, Lou's a great guy. I was in Parkdale at a new club opening, and I missed the beginning of the Horseshoe gig, but I did catch the end of it. Now, Liz Wirth has recently released a book documenting the Toronto punk scene, Treat Me Like Dirt, which features, you know, the Diodes, Simply Saucer, Vile Tones, Teenage Head, Ugly, everybody pretty much. I know that there are some bands that weren't included that felt they should have been or whatever. Now during the Q&A, Lucasta of the B Girls apparently expressed some displeasure with the book. Did you guys catch any of that?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah. I was there in the audience.
And so what? I wasn't there. What happened?
Well, she was. I mean, the book talks about some of the darker moments that happened within the 4-year period, and I think that what Lucasta wanted to really bring out was that there was a lot of fun that happened too. In fact, it was mostly fun, but maybe that doesn't sell books quite as well. So
yeah, well, I mean, the book is an oral history, so yeah, I mean, they're definitely not everything was fun and games back then, but obviously I had a lot of fun back then. I think most people did, but
I was asked to contribute some material that I did, and talking about some of the more interesting fun times that we had, none of that appeared in the book. So I mean, I think the editing was selective.
Yeah.
No, I think that it's still an excellent book, and it's you can't put it down once you start reading.
Well, hats off to Liz, because somebody at least, you know, give her credit for going out and getting the ball rolling.
Oh, it's also such a good read, and I mean, you can't deny the fact that the thing is a fantastic read, and I think that maybe all the fun didn't come across as much as it could have, but there were also some pretty serious dark moments, I think that does come across.
And I don't think it's a particularly harsh criticism anyways. I think that, I guess Lucas was looking for a little more balance or something. I don't know.
I mean, if you read the New York one, Please Kill Me, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of dark stuff in that. And actually, I just, on the topic of Please Kill Me, I hear Legs McNeil is going to be possibly coming to town in the near future. I hope that's true. It's just a rumor I've heard. Now, how were the gigs? I know the Horseshoe was obviously filled. How were the shows attended outside of Toronto?
Yeah, they were great. You know, people came out to see us, which is amazing considering it's 33 years ago.
A lot of core fans really came
right on. And how did the crowd, were the crowds, did it seem like the same kind of, did the crowds differ from city to city, from age, or, you know?
No, it was the same kind of mix, generational. Yeah. I mean, it was the people from then who were more like the collectors and the people who remembered and were part of it, and then a whole new group that was interested.
So there are kids coming to the shows.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, there are lots of 22, 25-year-olds.
I mean, one of the great interesting things about the book is that it has brought out a whole new generation interested in the historical aspect.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite evident at the opening of something I'm going to get to in a little bit, but Vince Carlucci of the Cardboard Brains had a fantastic photo exhibit the other night over on Ossington, and it was actually mostly a younger crowd. It was just a great party, and we'll get to that in a bit. Now, Johnny and the G-Rays played with you guys. You go back a long way with them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, starting with the Eels, which is the band that really started before the Diodes, and the Diodes came out of that. And it was a more of a—I mean, it's documented in the book. It was a kind of a concept idea that, based on the Ramones show, as a sort of a response to it at the New Yorker, and then eventually, very shortly thereafter, we met Paul and John and. It was just like a thunderclap. We came together almost immediately.
And Bent Rasmussen, the drummer for the G-Rays, was our original yeah. drummer.
And Harry Palm was part of the Eels, and he's now the lead guitarist for the G-Rays.
And Ian, you were the sound man, production assistant, and roadie for the Eels.
And I wore a polyester suit.
I thought you were the manager.
I was the manager. I still seem to be.
I remember you walking around and going, I'm the manager.
Well, if you're wearing a polyester suit, you don't even have to say you're the manager. You're just going to know, right?
I watched them up on stage, and I realized I wanted to be up there rather than down in the audience.
That's cool. And how did the G-Rays, I didn't see them in Toronto. Were they good?
Oh, it was excellent. I mean, I think the critical reviews were very favorable for both bands. In fact, it was one of the nicest things or best things that was said was that, I mean, it was a truly pleasing concert experience was the quote, I think, not some hollow exercise in punk nostalgia, because it was two authentic original bands that were there that could have played together then, and both sounding better, to quote the article, better than they ever have. So it was, we weren't phoning it in, as John McLeod put it.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny can never be accused of not being an original. I mean, those guys have always evolved, and he's always been true to presenting his musical ideas without, you know, he's always been a pretty brave guy that way, and I think it's paid off pretty much every time I've seen them play. Now, again, you guys have been in town for a while, lots of little things, things you were going to participate in and have participated in, and I know that just recently you guys were booked on to the GM Gomeshi show recently on CBC, and I rushed home from the gym that morning and was all ready to go, and all of a sudden it was a more established corporate Toronto band that were on there that I'm not going to mention so we don't burn any bridges, but what happened? That was sort of a last-minute thing.
I don't know what happened, really. We would love to do the show in the future, and if they see, if they have a place for us, they'll have a place for us, I guess.
Yeah, I think they should have a place for you. I heard there was a rumor that they thought you guys might be bringing Billy Bob Thornton with you. So. For those out there that don't know, Billy Bob did have a little bit of a wobbler on stage.
And to mention the other band that was on instead of the Diodes, two of the members of the band, Mike Timmins and Alan, were John Caddo's and my flatmates when we lived in London.
At the very early
and
days.
I think they had a pretty cool band back in the late 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
Hunger Project,
exactly. And they had like a Susie Sue kind of singer.
Yeah, well, she was, Lisa was our other flatmate, and Melanie married Alan, so I hope they're all listening. I mean, I haven't seen them in years, but we all used to work in the same record shop together.
Okay, maybe the Billy Bob thing wasn't true then.
We really don't know what happened there. I'm not going to burn any bridges with the CBC.
No,
the CBC should have had the Diodes on. I mean, it's a missed opportunity because we don't live in Toronto. Two of us live in England. The CBC should have had us on, but they didn't. I don't know why. You know, we weren't happy about it.
Was it a last-minute thing? Like, did you guys...
I think we were being slipped in there at a last-minute thing. So, you know, it's cool. We'll do it another time.
Okay, so we're going to go now, and we're going to play a tune. This one's called Private World, and we're going to rip into this one and be right back with the Diodes on 89.5 FM.
I'll break down.
CIUT can now be heard on channel 946 through Rogers Digital Cable.
Do you like what you're hearing and want more of it? Check out our schedule at CIUT.fm. We have over 80 unique programs we're sure you'll love. We're listener-supported CIUT 89.5 FM.
Yeah, we want more of it. We want more Johnny Thunders, Sylvain Sylvain, Arthur Killer Kane, David Jay and Jerry Nolan, the New York Dolls, and that was Private World. Everybody out there, if you don't know this by now, then you've been in a closet somewhere, but this coming Saturday in Burlington at the Burlington Music Festival, the Diodes and the New York Dolls are going to be performing together. The show has been intentionally put into the afternoon slot, because the same night, obviously everyone must know by now, that the Stooges are playing with James Williamson on guitar now. And this is just absolutely mind-blowing that, you know, when you think of it, that in 2010 in Burlington and Toronto, you can see the New York Dolls, the Diodes, the Ravenettes and Iggy and the Stooges for free. I mean,
wow.
It's just super, super cool.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. And
I mean, this has to be the best festival day of all time in Toronto, and it's free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I mean, someone is paying for it, but fortunately for all you music fans out there, you don't have to pay for it. You just got to get your asses to the gigs. How did this gig come about for you guys? Like, you must have been quite pleased when you got a call saying we want to do a gig with the New York Dolls.
That was Lou Molinaro was actually the promoter and proposed the combination, along with, I think, it's a Hamilton all-girl band, the Berettas, I think is their name. And he was able to put it forward. The city went for it.
I mean, there's a lot going on, which is why, you know, John and I came over from England, then we reunited the band. So the first thing that has come on is that we've got the screening of a documentary on the Diodes, which is called 1977, The Diodes, by Aldo Erdick. And
we're definitely going to be getting to that. That's okay. Part of the festival.
But that's part of North by Northeast. And
exactly. This gig actually isn't part of North by Northeast.
That is very true. But we came over for the screening. We decided to do a couple of Toronto dates. And in the meantime, we were given the New York Dolls.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. I know, there's a few people involved in the show promoting it besides Lou. I know Sean Pilot often works with the New York Dolls, and he's a very established gutsy promoter and a great, great guy. I like to think of him as a good friend of mine. Now, I know the answer to this question, but did you guys see them in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
And Ian, did you?
No, I did not. No.
Now I'll start with. No. I'm going to start with Paul because I know Paul lived in Boston.
That's exactly
now,
where I saw
where,
them.
You saw them there, and
yeah,
and what,
a place called the Garage.
Now, was it the first album or second album?
It was the second, actually.
So Johnny's hair was monstrous. Was Kiss opening for them?
I don't remember who was opening for them in Boston.
Well, you would have remembered Kiss.
Well, Kiss opened for them here. In Toronto, but yeah. I think that it was just a local Boston band, if I remember.
Okay, well, that might not be exciting to you, but for Torontonian, some of those Boston bands were pretty cool.
The real kids.
Yeah. Now, John Catto, where did you see the New York Dolls?
I saw the Dolls at the Victory Burlesque, which was literally what it sounds like. It was a burlesque theater on Spadina.
That's at Spadina and Dundas, and I think it's a Royal Bank now. It's right at the corner of on the northeast corner.
Yeah,
and I mean, everybody, we talked about it last time, Silverhead, Iggy and the Stooges on the Raw Power tour with James Williamson.
Yeah.
That would have been the last time that James Williamson played in Toronto. I think I was 13, so I wasn't even going to shows at that time, but I know the one chance I was hoping to see James Williamson was when New Values came out, but he for some reason didn't make that tour. It was Brian James played guitar on that tour. So
Got from the Damned.
Yeah. So did you you saw those two shows, and obviously you guys loved them.
I think I saw just about every show they did at the Victory Burlesque.
What about the Queensberry Arms when they got down to? I think they had two guys up at that point.
I saw that as well.
how was that?
That was great actually, because the background behind that show was that after Johnny and Joey left the band, they were offered a tour of Japan. Like this literal huge stadium tour.
I remember seeing a picture of it in Rock Scene. It was monstrous, and they had like a 200-foot gap with a big fence between the crowd and the dolls, and they were like sort of like, it was like kind of like when the Beatles played at Shea Stadium, I think.
Yeah. So this came like right when everything had fallen apart. They put the band back together again and called it the New Dolls, and then toured it. They played somewhat in New York and stuff, but mostly they seemed to tour through Ontario and everything, because I know they kind of went and played at the Kinabalu and all that, but they played the Queensbury Arms. But what I do remember about it is, of course, they arrived in Toronto as a New York band, and they'd never played two sets a night, ever, in the history of the band. And they turned up at the Queensbury Arms, and they said, well, you guys are doing three sets, right? And they had a New York set's worth of material. And they were there for a week. So they played the same set three times.
A night.
Every night for a week. And it was great.
That's amazing. Now, was that around? I guess it would have been after the Red Leather thing, and definitely
this is
been.
This is after that.
And who was the guy? Was it Pete Jordan?
Peter Jordan, Tony Machine.
Tony Machine was the keyboard player from Sylvain's Criminals, I think.
Or drummer.
Yeah, the drummer. Sorry, yeah. And there was somebody from Wayne County in the band.
Something like
pretty
that.
Pretty sure from the Electric Chairs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's cool. And obviously, you know, while we're on the topic of Victory Burlesque, John, you did see the Stooges on the Raw Power Tour at the Victory Burlesque. And tell me about that visually. How did it grab you?
That's the most amazing show. I mean, anybody knows me on Facebook or any of those things, of course, that I took a lot of photos at that show, so those are actually up on my page. And they're also in use in, you know, there's an Australian fanzine that recently did a big interview with James Williamson and so on. They were used for that as well, run by a guy called Craig Barber. And it was an amazing show, like really, really an amazing show. The Dolls also, you know, they were really great. They had Rush opening for them.
That's right.
Yeah, I know we spoke about that last time. And you were saying, like, I mean, one would think now that Rush would be such a, you know, maybe get booed off or something. But back in the day, I think the barrier, there wasn't a punk scene at all. And I think all these bands did get the same, well, the press they received all came from the same media outlets. So, there wouldn't have been maybe that division that one might think.
They talk about that gig a little bit in the Beyond the Lighted Stage, the documentary on Rush.
Yeah, Ian, you said you've gone and seen the new Rush documentary.
That was a great slice of Canadiana.
I definitely want to see it. Did they actually touch on doing shows with the Runaways in that?
No. They talked about the fact they opened for Kiss for 60 shows. Was really what kind of established the band, opening for Kiss, it seemed.
Wow, yeah.
All through the Midwest.
Now, the last time we spoke, which was 3 years ago, I think it was June 8th, 2007, that was definitely the definitive interview of the early history of the Diodes, and I was very happy with that. We unveiled and just dug up a lot of real good information on the Diodes. We did have that published in San Francisco's Maximum Rock and Roll in two issues because it was so lengthy. What kind of feedback did you guys get from it?
Incredible. And it's without a doubt the most comprehensive interview ever done on the band. I mean, if anyone ever does want to, you know, write a biography on the Diodes, I'm sure that a lot of it is going to come out of that interview.
Yes, and it is archived, I think, through Equalize and Distort, if you come through. Actually, all the interviews are, but the Diodes one was just,
It was the most comprehensive interview we've ever done. I mean, it's a great bit of oral history.
And as I said earlier in the night, you know, when we did that 3 years ago, we were in the old building. There was no air conditioning.
I was falling asleep.
I remember, Paul,
it was so late.
You were ready to go home.
It was about 3 in the morning, and I'm just like, I'm falling asleep on the table.
Well, you guys had to play the next... You had to go somewhere the next morning, I think, to do a gig, or there was something going on. Oh, yeah, you were playing Dundas Square, I think, the next day, so you had to do your sound check. And
we were probably totally
jet-lagged. And then I remember when we went... there was a sound guy. After we did the interview, he was with all your equipment locked in the basement. He fell asleep, and the doors were locked.
Oh, yeah, that's
we couldn't
right.
get into the basement to get your stuff, so we were going to break the windows open. But thankfully, we never had to do that.
No, that was an amazing, amazing time.
Now, you know, there's more attention with the band, with, you know, just getting back together and getting more press. Are you starting to get a lot more correspondence with people throughout the world, people getting in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. Getting considerably more active now.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Yeah, no, I mean, I think...
a lot of online activity.
I'm sure once these gigs, especially the Dolls gig, that'll turn you guys on to a whole...
Well, one of the great things about it is wherever we went just the last four nights. You know, the club owner said, anytime you want, come on back. I mean, anytime.
Yeah, they were just, I mean, we've got a great response,
I mean, all of them were like, that was awesome, that was so fantastic. I mean, I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I was really...
I'll blow your
but
own
at
horn.
At the end of the night when we went to you know, settle up, et cetera, it was just, God, like, the guys, like, I can't believe it. It's amazing. Anytime, just let us know.
Well, I mean, the horseshoe gig was pretty incredible, and I think that it's probably will go down in history as one of the best gigs we've ever done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we played well. The audience was with us every step of the way. It was a great, great gig. And the press that's come out of it has been excellent. So, you know, I think the Diodes could be back. You never know.
If you're having a good time and the bar owner's making money, then it's all a beautiful situation. Now, that night, so you guys, getting back to the show that you're doing this coming Saturday, are you guys going to try and make it downtown to see the Stooges?
Of course,
yeah, absolutely.
We're coming straight back to see the
Great.
Stooges.
Yeah, so that's for you, for you guys.
I would say that there are going to be a very large entourage coming down to see the Diodes and the New York Dolls. I mean, it's going to be a convoy moving from
Burlington. I think
Burlington
pretty much everybody in Burlington.
There
I can't.
Are probably going to be 500 people that we know that are coming down to see that show in the afternoon and then going off to...
Well, I've got my family. My family are flying in from London to see the show, and two of my best friends from New York are flying up to see the show, so we're all hanging out with our own entourage.
Great, and I do think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be the most comfortable show, the Dundas Square show, but it's going to be a fantastic show. I think it's going to be every man and woman for themselves.
Well,
I've
booked into a hotel that's right behind Dundas Square for the night so that I can just like kind of crash out after the show and sort of party.
I think I'm hooked up with a restaurant somewhere around there with overlooking it, but... believe it when I see it, but yeah, it's gonna be a tough go, anyways. But
it's gonna be a great day, though. Come on, the New
York absolutely.
The Diodes, the New York Dolls, and Iggy Pop, all in one day for free.
I think the more uncomfortable the show is at Dundas Square, the more insane it is. I think the more of a spectacle it's gonna be, and I think the Stooges will feed off that. And
I mean, as I said before, John and I just saw them in London. We just saw this show that they were doing, and I've never seen, I mean, Iggy's in absolute top form. He crowd surfed maybe five times during that gig. He looked fantastic. He sang fantastically. I can't say, you know, if you blurred your eyes a little bit, you would think that it was probably the Raw Power Tour.
Yeah, I saw the one with Ron Ashton at Massey Hall, and I mean, everybody that went to that show, it was insane. It was so, they were just on their game. They'd had all their gear stolen in Montreal a couple of nights before, and I think that just fueled them to, they just ran out, grabbed their gear with the stage lights on, and they just ripped into it. Did they play... What, like, obviously they're playing Raw Power. Did they do Give Me Some Skin or Sick of You or Jimmy?
They did. I think I've got the set list.
Do you?
You have it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got the show.
There you go.
That's
modern
right.
technology. Maybe I'll have to get one of those things one of these days.
They did some stuff in Kill City. They did Stooges. That's not it. Hammersmith Apollo. Raw Power, Search and Destroy, Gimme, Danger, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, Shake Appeal. So this is all the basic Raw Power thing. Then Cocker by Pocket. I've Got a Right, I Want to Be Your Dog, then it goes into earlier stuff. And then Night Fee, Beyond the Law, so on, so from Kill City, More Kill City, Funhouse, Joanna. That was in the encore.
That's Kill City. Yeah. That's beautiful.
It was amazing. It was truly an amazing show.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be stage diving, though, because I'm pretty sure, I don't know where it was, but I know he, about a month or two ago, he dove off the stage, and instead of the crowd catching him, he just hit the concrete.
Guess what? The show we saw was after that.
Oh,
he
okay.
did it five times. He did it five times. Well, I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's
he was
great.
In top form, but it was the Hammersmith Apollo, which
he
used to be the audience.
He seems to be propelled by
the audience,
just that band. You know, like having James Williamson in the band, it was really great with Rod Ashton. But it's like the old band, and then the Raw Power Band is a different band, right?
Yep. So we are gonna go and we're gonna play a track now. I don't know if we have. Do we have any Stooges out there? Nothing. Okay. We're gonna play. What are we gonna play, guys?
What have you got?
Do you want to play one of ours?
We can play The Dial's Going Nowhere Fast.
Let's do it.
Okay. This is recorded here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the third song.
So when we were supposed to play. Two times ago, but now we're going to play Nowhere Fast.
This is great,
fast,
though. This is real 77 Diodes punk.
And this is on the vinyl album as well, right?
Yeah. It's on the vinyl.
Yeah, it's on the new vinyl issue.
But it was just Diodes live. It was just live.
Yeah,
but,
this is...
We recorded it here
on Tuesday.
A couple days ago.
In this very room.
Yeah, in these rooms. Yeah.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service Channel 826 and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
We're back on.
All right. We're here back on 89.5 FM. I'm Greg Dick. We got the Diodes here. We're getting a little treat there, but we're just going to have to wait. That song was
Nowhere Fast.
Nowhere Fast. That's the one we were going to hear before. That was recorded here at CIUT in the studios just a little earlier on, and again, a world premiere of a studio recording. That tune is on the new Live 1978 record. What's the record label out of Italy?
Rave Up Records.
Okay. Now, I'd spoken earlier. Vince Carlucci of the Cardboard Brains just opened a photo exhibit at a gallery, which I can't remember the name of the gallery, but it's
Oz.
Cool little Oz. Okay, yeah, it's 134 Ossington. The opening party was just this past Thursday. There's a great shot of you, Paul.
Yeah,
you must have liked that.
Well, I guess it was done at the Crash and Burn in 1977 in the summer, probably. Around this time of year.
Yeah, you definitely had a good pose going on there. there was great shots. There was shots of, I think, Karen Smale in the fashion show from Outrage. Deborah Cadabra, I think there was a shot.
Deborah, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a first. I haven't seen.
She's now put it on her Facebook page. I noticed today as her.
Great, yeah, and there was really cool shots of the Ugly, the Vile Tones, Teenage Head, and it was
Iggy Pop.
Yeah,
Patti Smith.
Iggy looked like he was on steroids, man. He just looked so good. That was from Seneca Fieldhouse. There was Patti Smith, the Lou Reed. There was a great Lou Reed shot.
Right as you went in.
Yeah, that was really cool. Also, right beside the Lou Reed shot, there was a shot of the Ugly in their their rehearsal studio, like a collage of little photos. I don't know if you guys saw that one. It was kind of hard later as the night went on because so many people were crowding around the door. Because, you know, when you get two kegs of beer, you get a lot of people. So there's a huge turnout there.
Interesting that this was, if you actually look at the way it was done on Facebook, they had 560 people confirmed attendees on the Facebook event. So it's interesting how Facebook has shaped a lot of what's going on right now and how people stay in touch and how the scene has sort of been
drawn
back together through electronic media.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that was very evident at this particular opening, which I thought was really cool, was there was the established crowd from that scene, but there was also, I thought there was way more younger people than anything, and it was really, and they all seemed to be really interested. And
well, that's the great thing about the electronic media; you can jump generations just like that by becoming a friend. You
know? Yeah,
like I'm Liz Worth as 1,000 or something. So
yeah, and apparently, depending on how the show goes for the next 2 weeks, there is going to be a closing party with a band and everything, so everybody should keep an ear and an eye open for that, or check your Facebook page. Since you were here in 2007, interest in the Toronto scene has never been it's never been stronger, it's never been greater. What's up with that?
I think it's really what Ian was saying, is that definitely Facebook, MySpace has reunited a lot of people that would never have found each other again. And I think that, also the other mediums, the book and the documentary that's coming out on us and the other documentaries that To Be Seen have done, I think that it's spawned an entire new lease on life, really, for the original 1977 punk scene in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook or no Facebook, though, I think that, you know, you can only bleed so much out of something, and there's obviously some substance in this, because, I mean, the Toronto scene started seemingly started getting mined, as it were, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and at the time, I thought, yeah, this will go for a couple of years. People will be interested in it. A couple of guys will go out and reform some bands. And, you know, here it is, like, over 10 years later. And
yeah,
it's just,
I know. It's really interesting. But, I mean, there have been some interesting developments. One was the CB documentary, This Beat Goes On, which was a big thing that happened a couple of years ago, which really talked about Toronto in 1977 and the importance of the Diodes and Teenage Head and the Vile Tones. So that became kind of covered the whole of Canada. There's also been a lot of smaller bands that have come up that have been important in kind of bringing groups together, like a band like The Screwed, for example, the reformation of The Ugly. A lot of bands continue to play. In addition to that, you've got Liz's book that has come out, which had all those interviews that took place. I mean, it's really been since 2007. You've got Colin Brunton's The Last Pogo film, the activity around that, the blog associated with that. So there are a lot of people. The show that was done by Don Pyle back 3 years ago. So a number of different events came together that I think have brought out the historical authenticity of the period, and a whole new generation has been able to look at
and
say,
I also think
this is the end of classic rock, or this is the beginning of a brand new scene, or but it's a genuine period.
I also think that a lot of people have realized and latched onto the relevancy of the Toronto scene along with the New York scene and the British scene, and I think that they've realized that the Toronto scene was as relevant as the other two, which have received so much publicity worldwide.
Yeah, I know. I've often stated what is factual is, you know, the Toronto scene predated, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco,
Vancouver.
I know they'll hate us for saying that, and there'll be a big war on Facebook tomorrow about it. But it's just a fact. And actually, for a city like Vancouver, I mean, they did have a great music scene, but I don't know if they're going through the same renaissance or,
I think DOA and the Subhumans and all of those bands have their audiences and their relevancy. And I think that an awful lot of the music that came, you know, afterwards probably was inspired by that. But also, you know, you've got to remember the relevancy of the Diodes. We inspired Husker Du, which inspired Nirvana as such. And, you know, it's a fact that Bob Mould loved the Diodes, and he's been promoting us for the last, you know, 20 years,
yeah,
basically.
I'm aware of that. He's apparently he had 50 copies or something of the LP and would give them out as gifts. That's how much of a fan he was of the Diodes.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He bought a box.
Yeah.
Gave it a Christmas gift.
Yeah. Have you met Bob Mould?
I've never met him.
Never met him, but I correspond with him over the internet. Email each other.
But I was thrilled to, you know, I remember years ago I picked up like a copy of English Guitarist magazine. You know, like just a regular straight Bob Mould interview. And he went, what are your top 10 records of all time? And it's like, and he goes, well, I'd have to say, the very first thing he goes, well, I have to say the Diodes album. And it's like, wow.
and that's the first LP.
That was number one on his Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally the first record.
So, you know, we were rated by a lot of people that had a great influence on, you know, the changing tide of music, and I think we're very lucky to have had that legacy, and I think that that's what still makes the Diodes relevant. I think we can also probably go out there and put on a pretty damn good show still, and I think that that also helps.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Diodes, when you hear them live, are actually heavier than either Teenage Head or the Vile Tones in so many ways, and yet their records come across as a more power pop sensibility. But the live show,
I mean, we're really, really pushing it. And we have a lot of fans in Hamilton as a result of that. Hamilton was a pretty important place for us to play for a number of years.
Well, Hamilton is the center of heavy-duty rock and roll for Canada.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Now, we're going to go... We were talking about the Stooges, and we have, thanks to John Caddo, we've got a recent performance that we're going to play right now. This is Iggy and the Stooges live in London, John.
That's right. This is the performance they were selling this at the show. Literally, as you walked out, you could buy the show at Hammersmith at the venue.
That we just saw.
Minus the encore. Right, and they've been doing this for they did it for somewhere in France as well.
Great.
But this is actually the night that we saw at Hammersmith.
Yeah, and Hammersmith Apollo.
Apollo.
This is what we're in store for on Saturday night, rain or shine. Be ready, kids. Got my cock in my pocket.
Not under duress, I don't give to the justice. I'm not feeling so well. I see your face and my head starts to swell. Now I'm not feeling so well. I see your face and my head starts to swell. She is hard in here. I'm alone now, I can't be without love. You're not under duress, I'm used to it, I'm still now, oh yeah. Girl, I love you, yeah. I'm alone and feeling that blue, yeah. Gee, I love you, yeah. I'm alone now, I can't be without love. You're not under duress, I'm feeling so well. I see your face and my head starts to swell. Now I'm not feeling so well. I see your face and my head starts to swell.
You're listening to 89.5 FM. This is Greg Dick. I'm here with the Diodes. And that was The Dishes, Hot Property. And prior to that, we heard the Stooges playing Cock in My Pocket at a recent London show. Now, filmmaker Aldo Edrich, who will be debuting his documentary on the Diodes at the upcoming North by Northeast Music Festival in Toronto this week. I believe it's 3 p.m. on Thursday, guys. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's 3 p.m. Thursday at the National Film Theater.
All right. And tell me about when did he, I guess it's, is there older footage in the documentary?
There's older footage, but it was filmed with interviews in 2007. And then it took quite a long time to put it together with all the stock footage and other things. Mm-hmm. It's really about the Diodes when we reunited in 2007. Yeah. It was the first time that we had seen each other pretty well or played together in 30 years. So it's pretty well, it's kind of a buddy film about us getting back together. And with lots of footage from the crash and burn from shows
excellent,
in New York.
Excellent photo montage in it as well. There are lots of vintage posters. And.
But it's kind of a feel-good film as well, like some of the other documentaries that have been happening of bands. So it's us getting the treatment and getting our turn, really, to tell our story.
Yeah, one of the neat things about we sort of contextualize ourselves nicely in the who our interpretation of the important bands at the time, really our spin on because we were there, and so it's a different, it's a point of view.
Now, is it the intention debuting it at the film fest, or pardon me, the music festival? Is it the intention to try and sell the rights? And you guys, what future plans do you have for the film? I wish we had Aldo here tonight, but I'm sure you guys could answer that question.
Well,
are you going to put it on a DVD?
I think that what's going to happen with it is it will probably do the festival circuit. You know, it will be played at various documentary film festivals and music festivals.
There is some discussion about Bravo at one point, but I'm not sure where that is right now.
Well, I have seen the documentary, and it is fantastic. And it's a bit of a tough slot on a Thursday afternoon, but I'm sure there'll be a few.
Hey, they're showing the Blank Generation right afterwards.
That's the new. Is that the Richard Hell movie, or is it the documentary by Ivan Krell?
I think it's the Ivan Krell documentary, and I think Ivan Krell's coming up from New York to.
Actually, I think he lives in Detroit. If I'm not mistaken.
Sorry, sorry about that.
No, he's originally. I guess when Patti Smith went to Detroit, he just ended up staying there.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Now, one of the most rare punk singles of all time is the Raw War 7-inch single with featuring you guys and
the
Nikki Skin of the Curse, who apparently, well, I shouldn't say apparently, I know she's here. I've met her a few times. She's back in town. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's come to my attention that a copy of this, just so someone in Memphis just paid $800 for it. And I thought to myself, you know, that's probably what it cost to press the entire run of all LPs, maybe, or pardon me, 7-inch singles. I'm wrong. I don't know if you guys caught wind of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that particular single is seen through two different lenses. It's both a work of art, and it's also a very rare Diodes record, because it's actually part of the L.A. County Museum Contemporary Arts permanent collection. So it's a, I mean, it's an important document of an important group of artists and musicians in a very interesting period of time. So
And anyone
very rare.
Anyone who's been lucky enough to actually even see it, I'm sure you can go online and see it, copies of it, whatnot. But it actually comes like a little booklet that's bigger than the actual 7-inch, and then it's the 7-inch is taped inside. Myth has it that the majority of the pressings are sitting dormant somewhere. I don't know.
I think it's sold out in its day.
Have you guys?
I don't think they printed a lot of them.
Have you guys ever considered playing that song?
What?
I think
you mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's kind of cool. I guess you'd have to get one of those.
We could perform it.
What was the guy's name that was?
Amerigo Maras.
Correct. Yeah.
Who's
actually, he's
unfortunately
signed,
gone to a different plane.
Yeah,
higher plane.
His signature is actually on my copy.
Wow.
Well, as I say, I mean, it was. SEAC was at that time one of the most important institutions, along, say, with General Idea and A-Space. So, yeah, it's an important part of Toronto art history.
I think it's an important part of the history of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, it's a great piece. And I remember, Ian, you and I were talking maybe about 3 years ago, and we were discussing that there was there's a store, I believe it's called Pandemonium, out in the Junction, where Steve lives, out in the Junction, where apparently he's got it on the wall for $1,000. And I remember at the time we were thinking $1,000, he's never going to get that. Now it's actually, you know, closing in on 800 if this is true, and I'm pretty sure it comes from a pretty reliable source.
I think when it gets to 1,000, I'll sell my copy.
Funny story, I never actually had a copy of it.
One
came up on eBay, and I mentioned to someone, a friend, like our online guitar forum, I said, you know, this is really my first single, and I wasn't sort of going, you know, get this for me or anything. I was just going, look at this, it's all this ridiculous amount of money on eBay. And everyone kind of secretly got together, bought it, framed it, and shipped it over to me in England.
Isn't that a nice story?
This FedEx delivery appeared with this big glass frame with the single in it.
Well, where did it come from?
Well, they sent it over from Chicago, but.
Wow.
No idea. I mean, it was up on eBay somewhere.
That's really cool. I know another one sold on eBay without the cover for a couple $100 not too long ago. John Caddo, you and Rob Sikora. Rob was famous for many things, but notably the photos on the first Teenage Head single. You guys had a fanzine called New Century Gazette. Is it accessible online?
It could be. There were two issues. It was effectively the OCA magazine. Every year, someone got a chunk of money to do one, and we took it over and did it. And did interviews with the Ramones. Did interviews with with the New York Dolls, reviews, photos, that. I have it all scanned, so it could be.
Yeah, I hope you...
I've got copies of it.
Wow.
I've got copies of it. I have my tape, in my tape loop.
Do you have the tape loop?
Yeah. Mm.
Wow, and actually, speaking of Rob Sikora, I know he has quite a collection of photos, too, and he is being encouraged to, I know his collection is amazing, and hopefully he's going to do an exhibit one of these days. I know he has done some photo exhibits that aren't related to this, but we hope that he gets that happening. I know he's living in Detroit now, but he still comes up once in a while. Now, the Diodes did an American tour, I think it was 78, correct me if I'm wrong, with the Ramones and the Runaways. Yeah. And it was in what,
Chicago.
One of the worst snowy winters the America's ever seen. Now, Floria Sigismondi, a Hamilton native who's become, you know, an incredibly established videographer, photographer, now she's just directed the new movie called The Runaways. That was released recently. Did any of you guys see that movie?
Yeah. I think we all saw it on the airplane.
Yeah, we saw it coming over here on the plane.
And how did you like it?
That was really interesting. I think it captured the period very, very accurately.
Yeah. I know some more music snobby types have been sort of critiquing it for not being deep enough or intricate enough, but I think what a lot of people have to remember is that not that many people know a lot about that. The history of that band, and personally, I thought it was great. I thought the guy that played Kim Fowley was bang on, spot on, wasn't he? Yeah,
all of the casting was great,
and the authenticity to all the detail was just so bang on. I thought it was really, really well done.
It captured the spirit of the road quite well. I mean, there's a sort of flatness to being on the road that's always the same. There was that aspect of it in the movie.
Do you remember interacting with them on the tour at all?
Backstage, I think, a little bit. I don't recall.
I remember Joan Jett from later on when I went to London. I sort of hung out with her in London. She was like, played on my friend the Barracuda's album. She sang backing vocals on Summer Fun, which most people don't even know.
Great.
They were nice, though.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, they were cool.
They were nice.
Great. And there is a Joan Jett Barbie doll out now for all you collectors out there. Now, we spoke earlier tonight. There's a song on your first LP. It's called China Doll off the debut LP. It was originally released with, well, it wasn't. It was never released, but it was originally written as Jerry Hall instead of China Doll. And tell me the story why you changed the lyrics.
we played that show that song pretty much from just about the very beginning of the band, and it was always I think it was originally written because we were literally sitting around and we went, let's write a song about a model, and I think we had about three of them, and Jerry Hall won out. It's like kind of sitting around reading Interview magazine and all of that, but when it came, I mean, it's hard to believe now because even then she was quite famous. So when we went to record it, our producer's going, why is this called Jerry Hall? And we went, oh, it's about this famous model, and he goes, oh, I've never heard of her.
So neither would any of the audience know who she was, so therefore change the name.
Yeah,
change the lyrics. We stupidly did it.
The last time we spoke, you guys told me that you actually recorded it with the original lyrics in the original recording sessions. Does anyone have this recording?
Nah.
So it was just scrapped or taped over?
If it does exist on the master tape, the whereabouts of it are currently unknown.
So it's long gone, so we just have to hope that you re-record it with the original lyrics.
Well, we've recorded that song several times, I think, haven't we, John?
but never with Jerry Hall.
Sadly, that's
kind of what I was hoping for.
Thinking about this, because I don't think I have a copy of the original lyric sheet anymore, but I do think that I possibly have a live version of it for, you know, the first two or three gigs that we ever played.
And, you know, Steve, do we have China Doll here? What's going to China Doll? We're going to play China Doll by the Diodes, and then we're going to come back and talk some more.
Shall I sing Jerry Hall over it?
Yeah. we'll all sing Jerry Hall over China Doll.
Yeah, Jerry Hall. She's very tall.
Here we go. It's the Diodes. Yeah, that was Jerry Hall by the Diodes in maybe 1976 until it was recorded in 77, and now it's China Doll. Now, there's a few, when we spoke last time, there's a few things that we talked about, and for various reasons didn't get the complete answers, and one that I was sort of curious about was, I told you guys that when I went to see the Iggy Pop Ramones show in 1977 at the Concert Hall, the Masonic Temple, they were handing out flyers. I still have my flyer that says they were promoting a bus trip to New York City to see you guys at Max's Kansas City. And I asked you about it, and you basically got as far as telling me that it actually never happened. So, did that bus trip, that bus ride of Torontonians actually go down to Max's to see you guys?
I think they came down separately because the bus never really flew.
So what happened? They couldn't get enough people to get on the bus?
I don't know if they could get enough.
Which wouldn't have surprised me. Not because the Diodes weren't a great band, but because...
I think that it was another harebrained thing that our managers sort of got together. Mm-hmm. I mean, our managers were just, like, completely hopeless.
Now, that was Ralph or not Ralph?
No, Ralph was working for them as our publicist at that stage. But this was some brainstorm that our stupid management had in mind.
Okay. Yeah, that it sounded like a neat idea, but, you know... It is funny. I mean, there is a lot of myth around a lot of the stuff. Like, what a lot of people don't realize, even for a lot of international bands that were coming into Toronto back then, sometimes there wasn't exactly a ton of people at certain gigs,
no.
And sometimes there was. And
And the police at the Horseshoe, 9 people, I heard.
I was there, and I thought it was 6, but if the amount of people that said they were there, it would have been in Cops Coliseum or something, sold out. But,
I was there.
I actually left after the first set, because I thought they sucked. I thought they sounded like Styx with Sting with his high voice and everything. But they later became a huge, huge band. There are a few members. We mentioned the drummer Bent from Johnny and the G-Rays, who was the original drummer.
Bent Rasmussen, yeah.
Right. Now, other guys that were in the band, like Dave Clarkson, John Corvette. Are you guys still in touch with those guys?
Well, Dave was at our gig. He came up from New York. He lives in New York City. He came up for the Diodes Horseshoe gig.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And was he surprised by the interest in the...
No, not at all. I mean, he's a big fan, and he brought a lot of friends from the local Toronto art scene to support it.
Famous friends.
Yeah, it was good.
And what's Dave doing in New York? He's lived there for a long time.
He's an artist.
Great.
He's a contemporary artist.
And what about John Corvette?
John Corbett?
Yeah.
I haven't seen John for a number of years now, but the last time I saw him was probably 10 years ago. I think he's in the IT area at one of the banks in town.
Okay.
Still plays music.
And what about the guys in the Cads?
Well, Johnny
around.
McLeod.
I think there's
Johnny McLeod?
Johnny wasn't in the Cads.
No, he was in those pants.
No, John McLeod was not in, no.
Yeah, I'm sure he played in one of those.
No.
Oh, right.
There was the
Country Lads.
There was the
that's it, the Country Lads.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've kind of got back together again, a few of the people from the Cads, and they now have called themselves the Lost Anglers, I think, and they're active right now, but not two.
Yeah,
out there.
Did anyone hear? I mean, obviously John and Paul wouldn't have. Ian, did you catch? I remember about 2 months ago, Martha and the Muffins were supposed to play a gig.
I didn't see that show.
I don't even know if it happened. I know that they were slated to play.
I think they did. I think they played the Music Gallery, and I think they played
two nights.
Okay.
Yeah, I never did hear any press on that.
I'm not sure how it did.
Now. Again, getting back to those OCA days in 77, 76, you guys all had Diode names. You had different names than what you go by now. Ian, what was your name in the first thing?
I think I was Teddy Boys, called like Joseph Boys, the conceptual artist.
And John?
Laserbirds.
Laserburns.
Oh, you were Laserburns, okay. Mm.
Paul, what was your name?
I was Paul R, because I used to sign my signature Paul R, like with the letter R, but I've spelt it A-R-E.
David Clarkson was Nick Diode, I think.
So it wasn't, he was the only guy with the last name Diode.
No, or was it...
Vinny
Daytona.
This all lasted for exactly one press release.
It went, it was just
which
fun.
Never went got sent
so
to anyone.
So why didn't you? Because I mean, it was kind of the thing to do back then. Like you know, being an up and coming punk band, everybody would have fake names. Why did you guys move away from that?
Because it was stupid.
It was too obvious. It was a one liner kind of fun joke for the moment, but
one afternoon,
we got over it quickly.
Yeah. I guess Rodney Bowes named the band, as we know. Did he have a name, too? Rodney Bowes is a photographer, for those out there that aren't familiar with Rodney.
I'm not sure that Rodney had a moniker.
Because I always had the impression he was kind of like a member of kind of a sort of an out, sort of like the sixth or fifth Diode kind of thing. Hmm. Now, I'm getting a signal here from Steve. We're going to go play a track here. And we are going to play something. What are we playing,
Death
Steve?
Death in the Suburbs.
This is Death in the Suburbs, Diodes.
Oh, paranoia, it's the kid. Oh, that's
were red.
You are red, and that was Death in the Suburbs by the Diodes. I just wanted to jump in here and talk a bit about the show listings that are coming up because we're almost out of time. And so I wanted to let you know that tomorrow night at the Wrong Bar, Strike Anywhere, Bane, Low Talker, and Tusha Moore are playing. Thursday, June 17th at the National Film Board, which is down, I think still down on Peter and or John Street in Richmond. Is that right? Yeah. I'm getting lots of nods. At 3 p.m. is the screening of Circa 1977, The Diodes, and Blank Generation.
Blank Generation. We'll
be playing with that as well. So that's starting at 3 p.m. And I think you need a North by Northeast badge to get in there, maybe?
Sneak in.
Yeah, you can figure out a way. Just go down
the back
there.
Door.
Thursday, June 17th at the Opera House, the Misfits will be in town doing an all-ages gig. That same night at the Great Hall is the OCs and Demon's Claw. Also that night at Young and Dundas Square at 9 p.m., Mudhoney will be playing, and then X will be playing at 10 o'clock from L.A. That'll be a show not to miss. At the Garrison that night is Burning Love, Day Day, Month Month, Year Year Year, Mets, and Raccoon Wedding at a place called The Shop. Do you know this club, The Shop?
I don't know. Is it 751?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think that's it. But Greg Dick's favorite band, The Action, will be in town.
I love The Action. I'm going to be there.
Friday, June 18th at Parts and Labor. NFC will be playing with The Diamonds, Molested Youth, and Fog of Leprosy. That same day at the National Film Board at 8:30 p.m., will be a film about Handsome Ned called You Left Me Blue, The Handsome Ned Story.
Yeah.
So you should check that out.
I want to see that.
At the Horseshoe Tavern that night, Mudhoney will be playing with Manor Astroman, Wussy, The Poison Arrows, Twin Stumps, and Brutal Nights. I think that's one of the North by Northeast shows. And then we were talking about the Iggy Pop show on a Saturday, which gets started at noon and features the Burning Boys, Queen Kwong, Destat, Mini Mansions, The Soft Pack, Day Day, Month Month, Year Year Year, Surfer Blood, Waves, The Ravenettes, and then Iggy Pop and the Stooges will be going on, I think, at 11 or maybe 10. I'm not sure if it has to be.
I think they're on at 10.
So if you're just trying to miss all the other bands and get there for Iggy, you want to be there for 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere in there.
The Ravenettes are cool, though.
And can we mention something about this the Zeros thing on the Friday? Or?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, the Zeros will be playing on Saturday at Sneaky D's at midnight. So if you want to catch the Zeros, you should they're going on at midnight, so you want to get down for a little bit earlier than that. Saturday, June 19th, at the Garrison, Quintron and the Miss Pussycat, Jeff the Brotherhood, and Box Elders in from the UK. Also that same night at the Upper Lavish is Drunk Hussy and Spitfist. Wednesday, June 23rd at the Poor Alex Theater, Terror, Gravemaker, Foundation, Naysayer, and Fortune Teller. Saturday, June 26th at Parts and Labor, which is the new club in Parkdale at 1566 Queen Street West. The Nymphettes, formerly from Montreal, will be playing. Opening up will be the Sonic Avenues, Steve Adamick Band, and First Bass. Saturday, July 3rd at the Garrison is Uncle Monk, which is Tommy Ramone. Opening up will be the Treasures, the Staggerlies, and Cactus. That same night at Parts and Labor is Bastard Noise in from California. Opening up will be the Endless Blockade, the Rita Abyss, and Reality Terror. Saturday, July 10th at Parts and Labor is Tyvek and SoCal. Monday, July 12th at Parts and Labor is Coliseum, Burning Love, and Purity Control. Thursday, July 15th at the Mod Club is GBH. Friday, July 16th at Parts and Labor is the Grown Ups in from Calgary. That same night at Lee's Palace is the Gories, Detroit Garage Legends featuring Mitch from the Dirt Bombs. And then Saturday, July 17th at the Garrison, a show that we've been waiting for a while, is The Ugly. Sam has a message about this, doesn't he?
Yeah, Sam says, be there or get your head kicked in.
So there it is. The threat and the promise.
Or be there and get your head kicked in.
Either way.
Yeah, there's also on that bill, the City Sweethearts, the Delinquents, and Diamonds, three killer bands. So that's going to be a fun night.
That's right. The next Saturday at Mitzi's Sister, The Action are back in town, that band from Ottawa. Saturday, July 31st at Parts and Labor is the Red Dawns from Portland. Saturday, August 1st at the Hardlock Bar, Inquisition and Guayba. Monday, August 2nd at the Horseshoe. This is just announced that the Avengers will be playing. Thursday, April 12th at the Silver Dollar, Phil Collins Beat and Mother's Children and the Walnut Kids. Thursday, September 9th, this is getting way down into fall. Never mind, we'll mention these things next week. If there's a show that you know about that wasn't on this list, please forward it on to us at equalizingxdistort@ciut.fm. That's it. Sorry, I'm out of breath now.
That's it.
Okay,
wow.
But I have to interject here. The Diodes are going to be playing in Burlington. Okay, it's not Toronto. On the 19th, the same day as Iggy Pop, supporting the New York Dolls. All free.
There we go.
Well, there you go. That's you know, we did.
Where in Burlington is this show?
Sauna Music Festival, Maple and Maple Street, and
it's outdoors, right?
Avenue.
Yeah, it's an outdoor festival.
Right on the lake.
Right on the lake.
All right, Paul and John. I mean, you guys have been in town for a while now. You live in London. How have you enjoyed hanging out in Toronto? You've been here for about 3 weeks now.
It's really fantastic.
And you've been having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how's the
John
city?
John Dodds, yep.
Yeah, you find lots to do, and you're digging the scene.
Well, we spent the first 2 weeks doing nothing but practicing and playing music. So I mean, now they're getting a chance to take some time off.
But yeah.
We've had a very hectic, very busy schedule for the last 2 weeks.
And we got to go to Greg Dick's birthday party.
That's right, my 30th birthday party. It was great to see everyone there. Yeah, and Paul, I know you're going down to New York soon, right?
I'm going down to New York following our gig, and that's it. Go down to New York for 5 days, come back to Toronto, and fly out.
Great. And when's the last time you were in New York?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, that city's really, really changed.
Toronto has a better music scene.
There's no question. Well, New York really doesn't seem to have a music scene right now. I don't think musicians can afford to live there. I mean, there's some venues, but to just go out and have a beer and, you know, listen to Avengers records or Diodes records or Stooges, whatever, I mean, there's just not a lot of places like that anymore in the Big Apple.
I think it's all in Brooklyn, though.
Yeah, it kind of is. I just think Toronto is a cooler place for that sort of culture at the moment. Now, you guys, your third album, I remember 3 years ago when we spoke, the third Diodes record, Action Reaction, it was slated for release, and it still has yet to see the light of day, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been released on iTunes.
Yeah, it's been released at the moment on iTunes, and we probably are going to press it up as a CD.
Yeah, physical CD will actually be very shortly.
And that's going to come out on Bongo Beat?
Yeah.
Okay, and what is it? Is it, how is it going to be expanded, original, true to form as the LP?
The iTunes download is slightly expanded. The actual CD will be considerably expanded with other material for the same period.
And that's songs that we've never heard before?
Yeah.
And it'll come with, obviously, information. Will the booklet be, will it be...
It'll be
a couple of videos that were shot by George Whiteside. That was the way it was.
Now, maybe. I believe, did he do the album cover for that?
Yeah, that's
all
right.
The squirt guns and stuff?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I know he did the Catwalker video. Where is George Whiteside these days?
He's running a gallery in Queen Street West.
He's a fashion... photographer.
Yeah, I mean, he always was. I don't know if he's still doing as much of that now. He is he?
And he's doing things for Vogue and Toronto Life.
Yeah, did he come out and see you guys play?
No,
I haven't seen
George in ages.
All right. Well, George, if you're out there, let's hopefully we'll see you at one of these shows. Now, are you guys currently writing new music for the band now?
Thinking about it.
Yeah?
Thinking about it.
Has there been any interest... has anyone approached you about potentially, getting a new Diodes record out?
Well, we've got a record label, which is Bongo Beat Records, so, you know... Built-in interest, so we can do it whenever we want to, but it's just a matter of finding the time and doing it. We also are thinking that we might get together and play Japan.
Well, if the New York Dolls can do it, maybe you can get some pointers from them when you see them this coming Saturday. Yeah, and what about, I mean, obviously you guys, you know, it's pretty obvious. You can just tell by the energy in here that you guys are really, you know, digging what's going on right now. And obviously, I'm sure you're all wanting to play again. Are you guys considering touring, going down and doing some American gigs or European dates? Obviously, you're thinking about Japan. So what's the future of the Diodes right now?
I mean, you know, there is interest. If anybody wants to offer us dates, then we'll consider it, you know, basically.
We have fans who've said to us, come on down and we'll sponsor you. So we've got opportunities to do just about whatever we want. We can do it in a very small venue if we want. We can expand it. Really, it's the amount of energy we put into it. That'll make the difference for the size and scope.
And John Hamilton, everybody's on board for keeping the same, you know.
Well, I mean, we've got other commitments. I mean, the Diodes for us is a sort of our main musical project. We've all got other commitments that we have to, have to do. But I think that we're looking at having a much greater number of dates annually.
And you've got to remember, for the first time, the Diodes have international distribution, which is iTunes. iTunes didn't exist years ago, but now the Diodes are released in every single country in the world, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
So there is distribution out there.
But don't forget all the kids and you know, the real people that are into this, the people that are really into this music, I think really want to see your stuff on vinyl.
Well, we just had a vinyl release this year. We're one of the few bands that were lucky enough to have an LP on vinyl.
It's very impressive. And as I was saying earlier, I sure hope that we do see some singles, at least if not more, coming out of the band. And any indication what you guys did in the studio here this week that we listened to the three songs, that was just great. Anybody that's been lucky enough to hear this interview tonight and catch those tunes, it's the only place you can hear those. And I just want to say that we're gonna say goodnight now, and we're gonna go out with a Diodes tune here.
The Shape of Things to Come.
Shape of Things to Come. And I just want to say thanks so much to Ian MacKay, John Caddo, Paul Robinson. We're sorry John Hamilton couldn't be here. But it's great to have the Diodes here again. And I hope it's not another 3 years before we do this again. But it's been great. And everybody get out to Burlington and catch them with the New York Dolls this week. And then we'll all go down to Dundas Square and get fucked up and see the Stooges.
So. Yo.
Right. That's it, baby.
Oh,
CIUT. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Take this, take it's gonna shake me.